Father, we thank you for your word. This is what we came to do, to worship you, to hear you speak to us. Holy Spirit, you're in this place. We acknowledge you. I pray, oh God, that you're going to take this word from the heavenlies and between this cover. You're going to put it into our hearts and spirits tonight. Anoint me. Lord, you anoint our hearts and ears. I pray you touch men, women, young people, that you're going to do a work in our hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, we look to you now. We thank you for your faithfulness. Glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about God, the all in all. Jesus Christ, the all in all. You know, we use that pretty carelessly when we talk about all. You know, we'll say, I think about you all the time. No, you don't. It's impossible to think about somebody all the time. You know, or we'd say, I sang all day long. I doubt it very much. You'd have got fired from your job if you'd have sang all day long. You know, but we use it a little carelessly. I eat all the time. Eat while you're sleeping? You know, it's impossible to eat all the times. Or I go to Checkers all the time. You don't go to Checkers all the time. You're not Checkers right now. You know, or I'm happy all the time. You're not happy all the time. You know, the we use a lot of these phrases. Oh, I already know all that. You don't know all that. You know, or whatever. Oh, I experienced all that. I know all that. I have all that stuff. You know, we use it pretty carelessly. But when God uses the word all, he's talking about all. It means something in the scriptures. So I want us to look at some of these things tonight. And the first thing I want to talk about it is that in him all fullness dwells, in the Lord Jesus. Now, when the scripture says in him all fullness dwells, it means all fullness dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Listen in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. For by him, it's talking about Jesus, were all things created. What do you think that means? Some things? All things. God created everything through the Son. By him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, help me out. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body and the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So tonight we're going to talk about that. Some of those things that they're all in all in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says it, he means it. This is truth. We can put our lives on it. We can trust the Lord God. First of all, the Bible says all have sinned. It doesn't mean some. It means everybody. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says all, we like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So there isn't anybody in this room that has a sin. We're born in sin. Born separated from God. But the Lord sent his Son to redeem us. God's love through the cross made a way for all to know him and become righteous. Don't give me this doctrine that God just chose some and the others he didn't choose, and he knew that they were going to go to hell and they never had a chance because God already knew who was going to be saved, so it doesn't matter anyway. Man, that is not what the scripture says at all. For God so loved the world, not part of the world. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that in him, hallelujah, would be life and eternal life as we put our trust in him. He paid it in full. He paid it all. For he made him, Jesus Christ, made sin for us, that we be made the righteousness of God in him. So it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus, unto all. Come on, help me up. Every time I do this, you say all. That's what it's going to be. I'm not going to say part of, all right? You don't have to worry about it. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe. There's no difference. There's no difference. Anyone that calls on the name of the Lord, God died for them. He gave salvation. It says there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for the same Lord is over all, and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want us to understand, you know, there's some people that think that if they just try to be good, that's the way you get to heaven. But the Bible says no one is saved by their own righteousness. No one is saved by good works. The only way to get righteousness is through Jesus. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. And so God gave his son for every one of us. There is no other way. I want to make it very clear. And that Jesus Christ makes all things new when we call on Jesus. We know these things. Let's just get them in our spirit. Let's just review it. Let's just go over it. Let's remember who he really is and what's really happened to us. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what's left? What's old? You know, is anything left? All things become new. Is that right? Yes. And so do you have a clean record before God? Yes. Is there any old stuff left on it? No. Have you become a new creation? Yes. In your heart? Yes. In your spirit? Yes. In your mind? Yes. You're a part of God's family? Yes. You've become a new creation in every way. I want you to know that. Don't let the devil put that old stuff on you and those old labels and those things you did before. That stuff is gone and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And become a new creation. All things become new. Quit bringing it up to God. He doesn't know what you're talking about. When you ask God to forgive you, he forgave you, and it says he's forgotten our sins. About the second time you say, God, forgive me for that, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I heard you the first time, I forgot it. It's done. You don't have to keep saying, forgive me, 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 forgive me. Devil's trying to do a number on you and bring condemnation and guilt and heap it on you. You become a what? New creation in Christ Jesus. What's new? All things are new. So God makes all things new in our lives. He gives all grace, all that we need to know for victory. It says, and God is able to make all grace. What is grace? What is it very simply? Unmerited favor. Unmerited. We didn't merit it. We didn't work for it. Unmerited favor. He's given us favor we didn't deserve. That because of Jesus Christ, I have favor. I have favor with God. I have favor in life. That God's grace comes in. What do I deserve? Not grace. I deserve judgment. I've said before many times, mercy is when God holds back what I do deserve. Grace is when God gives me what I don't deserve. Everything I have has come because of the grace of God. And man, he's blessed us with how much? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How many of them? Wow. And how do they get here? All because of the grace of God in our lives. So it's all grace. And so God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Woo-hoo! Now I'm going to slow down a little bit. I want you to start getting some of this in your spirit. Listen to that. Whoa, I'm going to say that slow. And God is able to make a little bit of grace, all grace abound. That means over abundantly, not a little bit. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things. may be able to abound to every good work. We've been talking about this on Sunday morning. You know that God is successful. How many agree with that? Has God ever failed? He's successful. And that we are children of God. We're in the family. His nature is in us. God's heart then is for us to be what? Successful. That's God's will for you. To be successful in everything you do. I'm not just talking about money. God's got a lot more that makes us successful other than money. There's people who have all kinds of money. They are not successful in life at all. They're crooks. They robbed people. They sold dope. They sold people. They shot people. They're not successful. They have money, but that is not just success in God's eye. Money is a byproduct of God's success in our lives. God says, beloved, he wishes that we might prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers. So God wants us to have all sufficiency, everything that pertains to life God has given to us. All things, all sufficiency. Everything I need to walk in the will of God, to fulfill the plans of God, to walk in victory, to walk in the nature that God has put within me, to be Christ-like in my life, to overcome temptation, to be strong, to demonstrate love, to forgive other people, to know God's victory, to stand in faith in the middle of trials. All sufficiency. There isn't anything that God's held back. Everything that you need that pertains to life, God has given it to you. So don't come up to me. Oh, pray for me, Pastor. I just can't make it. You're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. God says he's given you all sufficiency to do whatever he's called you to do. And it comes by grace. You know, if God's going to hear you when you pray, you're going to have to start praying in faith. Boo-hooing is not going to get God's attention, you know, and that he's going to answer that prayer. Everything that God does is because of what? Our faith. God responds to faith when we believe the promise. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just such a failure. Nothing's ever going to change. It's just so hopeless. I just don't know. I'm so miserable. I'm so failure. God heard that prayer. Where was their faith in it? How about, Lord God, I failed, but Lord, you have promised me you would forgive me and lift me up, and that you would strengthen me, that I can walk in you, and that I can be an overcomer. Even though I made mistakes and made wrong decisions, God, you promised in grace you would redeem it in all sufficiency. Hallelujah. That fullness of your grace as you give it to me. I'm not staying down. I'm getting up by your power through your grace. That God wants us to have faith in him. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you all, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Success, his purpose, his plan, his calling. It's what we've been talking about on Sundays. Number 6, that he provides continual cleansing from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from some of our sin. From what? All our sin. There's nothing on your record. If you're up to date through the blood of Jesus Christ, you got a clean slate. So why are you letting the devil, you know, point a finger at you and condemn you of all this stuff? Just agree with him. When he says, man, you're a low life, you're a sinner, say, I know it. I used to live with you. But Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all of my sin. God sees me as I've never sinned at all. I need a Savior because I'm a sinner, but it's all washed away. And I'm righteous in God's eyes now. If we walk in light, as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. So it's just a running thing every day. Man, I need God's forgiveness every day. Man, we sin in word and deed, we in motives, everything. Man, we can blink and sin. You know, I mean, it's just like, man, I had to ask God's forgiveness on the way to church because some guy speeded me up and wouldn't let me in. And so I speeded up too. And I said, what am I doing? So what is that? What's that sin? He was blocking me, trying to let me in. So what is that sin? Pride. Pride. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to just be humble and pull in behind that guy. Don't look at me so self-righteously. You're driving out there too. I know how you drive. Man, we need cleansing every day from the blood of Jesus Christ, from all of our sins. I told that, but God forgot it. So, He delivers His children from all their troubles. So He gives us grace for every situation. It says the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saves such as be of a contrite heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Doesn't say you won't have them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them. Oh, you need to say that louder. How many afflictions does God deliver you out of? All of them. So what are you going through right now? I want to remember, you are just going through it right now. You're just passing through. You're not camping there. You're not living there. Oh, this is never going to change. I just don't see any way out. Then read your Bible. God says He delivers us out of all of our afflictions. Every one of them. We may go through it for a while, but we're coming out the other side. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. That light at you in the tunnel is not a train coming at you. You're coming through. God's got the victory for you. All right, I got to hurry. So that the Lord, He delivers His children from how many of their troubles? God wants you to have hope. He wants you to praise Him in the middle of your problems. Stand on His word and His promises. Lord God, I'm going through this right now, but I'm coming through this. You're going to deliver me for this. And not only that, but He brings good out of all things. Everything you're going through, those problems, those afflictions you're having, God's going to deliver you out of it in His time. But at the same time, He's working something good in the middle of it. And He's going to use every circumstance, every problem, every setback, even wrong choices that you make, things that other people do to you, unfair treatment, lack of justice, when people smear your name, when people lie about you, when things happen, you unjustly were accused or fired from your job, or I don't care what it is, we know that all, say it with me, we know that all, do you know the whole verse? Say it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. All things. Do you believe that? So why are you complaining? So why are you whining? So why are you worried? I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. God says, what are you talking about? The worst thing that ever happened to me. I'm bringing good out of it. So are we going to believe God, or are we going to go by our emotions and what the whole world, the way the whole world lives? God's given us abundant grace, all sufficiency. His grace is going to be there, unmerited favor in every situation. Quit going around with a defeated attitude. When you go in for a job interview, don't say, oh, I probably won't get this job. Probably won't. How about you go in? God, you give me grace. You give me favor. I just thank you, Lord. This is the job you've given for me. I'm getting this job. And if this isn't the job you don't have for me, I don't want it. And you've got something else better for me. And I trust you in this thing because I've got your favor. Wherever I go, whatever happens, I trust you with your plans that you have for me. Hallelujah. Because all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who call on purpose. So he said, I'm so disappointed. I loved him so much. I thought we were going to get married, and he ran away with somebody else.
My best friend.
You need to thank God. If he ran away with your best friend, that guy was a low-life snake. You'd have married him, man. He'd have messed over you so bad if he ran away with your best friend. What would happen after you got married? Better that he runs away with your best friend before you get married than he runs away with your best friend after you get married. Hello? You need to thank God he kept you from that. Hello? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So that disappointment you think is such a big disappointment is really God. If God is saying, I just saved you from so much misery and you're complaining and moaning and groaning. All things work together for good. Don't you know I just did you the biggest favor you ever got in your life from me? Unmerited favor. Now I'm doing good tonight. Come on. Praise the Lord. This God wants us to get this into our heart. God wants us to get this into our heart. Here's the ninth thing. I have 23 of these. Here's the ninth thing. Grace, buddy. Grace. You're going to need it. All right. Number nine. God promises to provide most of your need. Oh, you know that one. God promised what? He says in 1 Timothy 6:17 and 19, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us all things to enjoy. He gives us things to enjoy. You don't have to feel guilty about things. God's the one who gives those things, all things. God richly gives us all things to enjoy. That's his heart. He wants to bless his children. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. God says, I give you all things to enjoy, all things. But you should be faithful with all that stuff. I gave it to you for a reason. And that there's God wants you to enjoy it, but keep it with loose hands. Comes, goes, comes, goes, comes, goes, comes, goes. And every time you give, what happens? God provides and brings back. Not to hoard it and keep it and be fearful. That's what God's warning us against. Charge those that are rich in this world. They not be high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. They're uncertain. You know what's going to happen. But trust in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. And then it goes on to say in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. The love of money. That's why God says, I've given you all things to enjoy, but you just don't fall in love with it. Hang on to it lightly. And so I want you to just continue to give it, not trust in that money. Keep letting loose of it as I bring it into your hands. So you're not trusting in that. And you're not loving that money. You're either going to love money or you're going to love God. You're going to serve money or you're going to serve God. You're going to let money make your decisions or you're going to let God make your decisions. Now, I know how God works. I know what God's word says. God says, I want you to give a sacrificial offering. We say, oh man, I can't do that. Man, I need that money right now. I need that money to get me out of this mess. So what are you trusting, money or God? Are you trusting God's word? God says, you need to trust me, not your money. Enjoy what I have, but don't hoard it. Don't be stingy and greedy about it. God wants to have an open heart. Man, it got so quiet in here. Did you notice that? I'll tell you why. God's pushing the button. We have more trouble with money than we do anything else in our life. The love of money is the root of how much evil? So what do you think the root of the evil and problems in your life is? What? Love of money. God said it. I didn't. Hassles your problem. Hassles you're having in your life. We don't obey God. We don't trust God. We don't yield. We don't obey and do what he wants to do because we're afraid to let go of what we think is security. We're not trusting God. God can't give you more till you're faithful what you have and start loosing it, not hoarding it. Then God can give you more, trust you. And He'll knows because you're going to be faithful with it. And He'll give you more. You can give 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 more. And you become just a conduit of God's blessing. And the more you give, the more God gives you and trusts you with. And pretty soon, man, it's just coming. And God's using you because you're trusting Him, not in the money. And here's what He says. But my God shall supply what? All your need. According to His... So you think God's broke? Think he had to borrow some money from somebody? Who's he going to borrow from? He owns everything. It's all his. And God shall supply all your need according to his riches. You think he's lacking? Beloved, I wish above all things. Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And again he said in Ephesians 1:3, we're familiar with this from Sunday mornings. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings in heavenly places if you're really good. What's it say? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're all through grace. They're all in Jesus. God's let us tap into his bank account with a credit card. Everything's paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, charge it to my account. It's paid for in full. It all is yours. Trust me to meet the needs you have. Don't walk in fear, in greed, in self-centeredness. You're not of faith. So God's promised to meet all your needs. Why am I lacking? You answer that yourself. You're trying to do it your own self, trusting in your own flesh to make it happen instead of in God. If you really trust in God, you wouldn't be worrying about it. Okay, number 10. He has promised you can do all things through him. He's promised you can do all things. I can't do that. God, you're a liar. Because you said I can do all things through Christ Jesus. That's what you just said when you said I can't do that. You're saying God's a liar. The scripture says I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. So what are you having trouble with right now? What can't you do? There's no way I can do that. I'm too busy right now. You don't even know what busy is. Just take it one step at a time. God's going to do it. He's going to strengthen you to do everything that he's called you to do. He's not going to put more on your plate than you can do. I can do what? All things. I can't do that. Yes, you can. God doesn't want, no people in the family. Can't do. He wants what? Can do. Man, I don't want a staff that we come to a staff meeting and says, oh, we can't do that. I want a staff that says, you know what? There's a way to get this thing done. God's going to show us how. Man, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Man, how about you? Man, how about in the kingdom of God? God, I can do that. Because you're going to strengthen me. Anything you call me to do, you're going to give me the strength and grace to do it. I can do all things, everything you put before me, Lord, that you want me to do through Christ Jesus. I don't care if it's hard. God stretches us. Isn't that what athletes get from their coaches? They always get stretched. Do a little more, do a little more, do a little more, do a little more. I didn't think I could do it. But he keeps stretching, pulling him, pulling him, pulling him, pulling him, pulling him, pulling him. I can't, I give up, I can't get up. Because he said, get up, get up. What are you doing? Get up, get up. You can do it, you can do it. You can do it. My wife knows this sounds really dumb. But I mean, we don't go a lot of places for fun. I mean, what do you do for fun? We come to church. We enjoy our swimming pool. And maybe once or twice a week when the weather's nice, we'll get out and just kind of enjoy the pool. And truthfully, I've spent more time in this pool than even when the kids were young and in the house. my wife and I go. We got a little raft we get in together. It's a double raft. We just, you know, kind of hang out, you know, and just, you know, it's really cool. But I found these toys, you know, they're called boom booms. And they're you ever, you know what I'm talking about? The little plastic things that look like ping pong paddles, but they make like a drum sound. They're clear, and then they have she takes the pink one, I have the purple one. I don't want the pink one. And then, you know, and it has this little kind of Nerf ball, and you hit them, and it goes boom, 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 boom. And we're in the swimming pool, and we're hitting these things back and forth in the water. Our neighbors, I know they're saying, what is that noise? And we're in the pool, and we're going, boom, 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 you know? And like, we're saying, we're never going to get to five, you know? It's like, we're never going to get there. We can't do it. We're never going to get there. We get, you know, boom, it goes here, goes there, knocks all over the place, you know? And we keep stretching. We can do it. Let's do it some more. We can do it. We can do it. You know, we can do it. Are we going to get to six? Are we going to get seven? You have to, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Come on. Let's keep going. You know, let's break 10. Okay, we keep breaking. Man, we broke 20. We're going, yes, hallelujah. You know, it's like, you know, we're not done. We're going to keep going. You know, we're being stretched. Now, I know that's a stupid illustration. But God stretches us. You can do more. You can do more. We didn't think we were going to get past five, you know. We're thrilled we're 20. We're not world champs, but we're just having fun. We're going to keep moving forward. God says, you can do it. And he stretches us to do more than we think. He sees the potential, the giftings, the capacity, things you can't do because you give up before you ever try. And so you just stay the same. God says, I want you to do things that you don't think you can do. If you think you can do it yourself, it is not a God-given project. God calls you to do things that you can't do yourself. I can't do that. That's a project worthy of God. He's going to do it. I can't. Anybody here got $10 million? God's going to do it. But God stretches us. He stretches us in every area. I can do what? All things through Christ Jesus' strength. Don't tell me that. I can't do it. What you mean is, I don't want to do it. There's a big difference between I can't do it and I don't want to do it. I don't want to have to put into it what it's going to take. I don't want to be stretched. I'm comfortable being a know-nothing slob. Leave me alone. I'm comfortable doing nothing. Then blame yourself. Don't blame God for your failure and your laziness. Don't you wish the right people were here? This is the crowd that comes to church on Sunday night that goes the extra mile. Hallelujah. But God wants to stretch you. You can do more. All things are possible. He's promised I can do all things through him, and all things are possible. What's impossible for you to do? God wants us to have an expectancy. Hope, faith, you know, to embrace the future with excitement. God's got great things ahead. God wants us to look forward, to know the victory that he's going to bring. God's going to do things we never planned. I've preached it for years. When you step out in faith, God always does more than you think he's going to do. Always. So what seems impossible? It says, all things are possible to them that... How many things? All things are possible. God says, there's nothing impossible. With men, this is impossible. But with what? God? All things are possible. He's talking about through you, in you. Let me give you one more. There is limitless potential through him that is all in all. Limitless. Limitless power. Limitless potential. Limitless provision. Limitless. Limitless opportunities. limitless for what you can do for God, things that you're going to do. You just keep doing it every day. Obedience every day, stretching God. You look back in a month, man, I've done more this month for God and moving forward and growing in Him, that the Lord's been using me in ways I never thought would happen since I made that dedication to really start seeking Him and having faith to listen to His voice. And then 2 months, you're going, incredible what's happened. It's been 2 months now since I've really put my trust in God to know that He's going to do something new through me, that He is the all in all, that He's going to provide all the grace I need to do what He's called me to do, and that I've taken on this project. I didn't think it had ever happened, but I said, Lord, if You're in it, I'm going to do it, and You're going to do it. And then after 3 months, we look up, and after a year, and after 3 years, and after 5 years, and after 10 years, we look at our life and we go, man, it's incredible what God has done. And when we look over then a lifetime, wherever you are, and look at the things that God has done, when we allow the Lord to continue to stretch us, continue to step up to those new things that God has for us, instead of copping out, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. That's the kingdom. Growing. Abounding. Stretching our faith. Where I was yesterday is not going to do. A disciple means a learner. We're growing, learning, stronger. Stronger today because of what we went through yesterday. Stronger next week because of what God taught us this week. Stronger next year because of the things we went through this year. You understand what I'm saying? There's limitless potential through Him that is the all in all. Listen what it says. We know these verses. Ephesians 1:19, and starting there through 23. And He wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. How exceeding great is that power that God's given to us. The working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His feet. So what power is He talking about that God wants you to know that you have? The same power that was used when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set Him over every principality and power. God says, that's the power that belongs to you as a believer. I did it for you, not for me. I already had victory over Satan. I was on my throne. I became a man and did it for you to exalt man with me and put him on the throne with me. Get it, get it, get it, get it in your spirit, in your heart and mind. Jesus didn't come and die for himself. He came and did it for you, that you would know success, to lift you up, to exalt you, to put you on the throne with Him, that we would know the same power that raised Him from the dead. And if God says, He said, I want you to have faith. I want you to have an expectancy. I want you to know what it is. If you don't believe anything there, then you won't expect anything. The devil doesn't want you to know either. Oh, man, I went to church. The pastor was so fanatic one night. He is really out there. He's not practical at all. He said the same power that belonged to Jesus when He was raised from the dead belongs to us. This guy's flipping out. No, the devil doesn't want you to have it. He doesn't want you to have victory. He doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to be an overcomer. He doesn't want you to accomplish anything. He doesn't want you to have fulfillment. He wants you to just stay in your old narrow cocoon. Man, I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Spirit. He's bringing this word to people in this room. I have so much more for you than you've imagined or that your faith will accept. And if you will put your heart on my promises and believe them, I will begin to perform the word and the promises I've given to you. And I will raise you up. And I will do things with your life that you never believed or expected. And you will look back and you will say, look what God has done. Look what the awesome things the Lord has done in my life. I never could have believed this would have happened. But we put our trust in Him, and step by step, He's going to lift you up and do things that you never imagined. in every realm. I'm not just talking about being in full-time ministry or pastor. I'm talking wherever God's called you in your life, whatever He's called you to do. We're not tapping into all that God has. And then you might know what is exceeding greatness of His power. That same power that raised Jesus from Christ from dead and raised Him up in might and power and dominion. And it put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. Listen, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So who is the church? Church is His body. That He put all in all in us. His body. We're the body of Christ. We're not detached. His nature's in us. It was God's heart and desire for His glory to put the all in all. We talked about it in membership class tonight. You know, we get smeared. The church gets smeared in the media. They pick out every small problem and big problem and make it national news. They don't tell about all the good things that are happening through the body of Christ. All this stuff. Something happened, they broadcast it everywhere because they want to attack it. And that the devil points all of this stuff. The truth of the matter is, we are God's force for righteousness on the face of this earth. And that, listen, and that we are the hindering power of the forces of darkness. As we walk in faith and righteousness and obedience, we are the one that controls the flow of wickedness on the face of this earth. Because God has placed His all in all in us. Listen, and when we function and stand in faith, we're the ones that hinders what Satan can do or won't do. Don't you think for a moment, if your eyes could be open, I said that today, just today, if our eyes could be open all around the world through God's people and churches and the faith that rose up and the works and the things that happened, there was a power of righteousness and light that went out through this earth that hinders the powers of darkness. When the church is out of here, man, and Satan is unchecked, the rapture, that's when all hell breaks loose on the face of this earth because there is no controlling power that's holding back sin and wickedness. You saying we're a match for the devil? No, we're not a match for the devil. We beat him. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, He's a defeated foe under our feet. This morning we shared the scripture. Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Father, I pray, Lord, tonight You would stir us. You would stretch us. I pray people are going to begin to see themselves the way You see them. You put a treasure in us, Lord. Your Spirit, Your power, Your Word. And that, Lord, You would stir us with godly ambition to walk in You, to please You, to find out what Your will is. Lord, to be used, to believe You. You can do so much more than You're doing. Stretch us, Lord. That our faith would be stretched, that we would embrace, Lord, what it looks like is not possible. All things are possible. Lord, we can do all things through You that strengthens us. We thank You, Lord, for Your power, for the victory that we stand in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father, even tonight, there's going to be a manifestation of Your Spirit. You're going to do more than we expected. Lord, we thank You, Lord. You brought healing. All infirmities were placed on You. You're going to deliver us from all afflictions. You're going to meet all our needs according to Your riches and glory. We thank You, O God, for Your promises to us, which are yea and amen. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask before we dismiss. See, the Bible says, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Are you down? And I'll give you rest. He says, take My yoke. He's saying, hook up with Me. Learn of Me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. My heart's out to you. And you'll find rest in your souls. For My yoke's easy and My burden's light. The Lord's heart is open to us. He's given us precious, precious promises. He's promised. He's offered salvation to every one of us. He's rich unto all them that believe. He is the Lord over all. He is rich unto all that call on Him. And tonight, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come in your life, He's real. It's not joining a church. It's not trying to do better. It's not trying to, oh, if I can just get myself together now. It's an experience. You're going to experience God. He's going to come into your life. He's going to send His Spirit into you. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's no other way to enter the kingdom except through new birth. And that He's going to send His Spirit into your heart. When you believe, trusting in Him, ask Him to come into your life. He's there. He says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you just hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. He's no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you've been. Doesn't matter whether you've been in church or out of church. It's the same. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But He offers salvation to all of us. And if tonight you've never done that, you're going to experience Him. I mean, He's going to come into your life. The Spirit's going to bear witness with your spirit. You're a child of God. You're going to know that you know that you know that you're saved. Whoever has Christ has life. If you don't have Christ, you do not have life. You're in darkness or light. You're in death or life. You're under a curse or you're blessed. There's no in-betweens. And if that's you tonight, you say, man, I know I need Him. If God can forgive me, give me a new start, I become a new creation in Christ Jesus. He'll forget all that old stuff in my life. That's right. Give you a brand new start. I want